Create Art Podcast, KDOI Rebroadcast, Conversations on Inspiration with Derwin Dyer. Hello, friend. This is Timothy Kim O'Brien, your head instigator for Create Art Podcast, where I use my 20-plus years of experience in art and education to help you tame your inner critic and create more than you consume. My previous podcast was called KDOI Podcast, and in the final season, I would help define certain terms in the art world, and then I'd have conversations with friends of mine who had their own opinions on what those definitions were. This episode, we're going to be discussing with my good friend, Derwin Dyer, who is a classically trained pianist, on what inspiration is and how you can harness it for your artistic practice. So let's go ahead and take a listen on to that conversation. Welcome, friend, to KDOI Podcasting, Chemo's Den of Iniquity, where we create more than we consume. I'm your host, Timothy Kim O'Brien, head instigator here. Now, this episode, we'll be discussing inspiration. Yep, that elusive muse that all artists of all disciplines seek to bottle and keep handy. Now, the definition of inspiration, according to Merriam-Webster, is a divine influence or action on a person believed to qualify him or her to receive and communicate sacred revelations, the action or power of moving the intellect or emotions, the act of influencing or suggesting opinions, the act of drawing in specifically, the drawing of air into the lungs, kind of like that, breathe. Vic Muniz says that the really magical things are the ones that happen right in front of you. A lot of the time you keep looking for beauty, but it's already there. And if you look with a bit more intention, you see it. Take a look at his website on Vic Muniz, VikMuniz.net. Now, Vic is a Brazilian artist and photographer. He initially was a sculptor, and he grew interested with photographic representations of his work, eventually focusing completely on photography. Now, primarily he works in series. Muniz incorporates the use of objects such as diamonds, sugar, thread, chocolate syrup, and garbage in his practice to create bold, iconic, and often deceiving imagery gleaned from the pages of pop culture and art history. His work has been met with both commercial success and critical acclaim, and has been exhibited worldwide. Just one look at his portfolio, and you can see he is in touch with inspiration. What does this definition, in quote, mean to me? Well, inspiration requires an action. You know, it just doesn't drop into your lap and present itself. You can wait for inspiration, but eventually you need to get up, get out, and experience the world, and look for the beauty of the world, and try to capture it in your own medium of choice. The quote is specifically relevant to me because when I'm feeling blocked, and I'm using air quotes on that, kids, I just need to remind myself that by taking a look around me, I can write, paint, photograph, whatever I see, hear, taste, touch, smell, all of that. I just need to look around, and I just need to use all my senses and my memories and my perception and try not to judge initially too much. I can't possibly take in everything and represent everything, but I can take in a few things at a time or one simple thing that stands out and try to represent it. This episode, we will discuss what inspiration is, how do we seek it, and what do we do with it. Now let's get this conversation started. Welcome back, everybody, to Chemo's Den of Iniquity. Again, I'm your host, Timothy Kim O'Brien, and folks, I have the unique and humbling honor
to present to you one of my closest friends since, oh my gosh, 2004. I think the exact date that we became friends was in May 4th of 2004. Now, this gentleman has been a longtime supporter of KDOI podcasting, and he has been my mentor. He's been my ambassador of Qua in the Holy Lands of Chicago. I'd like to bring to you, to the stage, to the airwaves, to all of you wonderful people out there, my good friend, Derwin. Derwin, how are you doing this fantastic evening?
Hi, my friend. How are you?
It's a beautiful day now that I have you on the show.
Oh, you're so kind.
And folks, I haven't paid him anything for this, just to let you all know. But I brought Derwin on for this show specifically because Derwin is a classically trained pianist. That doesn't mean he pees on things. He plays piano. Unless you want to tell us stories about you peeing on a piano.
Yeah, none of those.
No, okay, none of those stories. Okay. He's trained. I've known him, like I said, since 2004. He is a big supporter of the arts. He's one of my most influential people in my life. And we're going to be talking about some inspiration today and what it means to Derwin and what he uses, how he uses inspiration in his practice and where he gets where he draws from that well. So Derwin, you've read the definition. You've seen the quotes that we have there. Where would you like to start off? Well, actually, let's start off this way. What is inspiration to you?
Inspiration to me is an arousal, an effect, an influence that causes one, or quickening that causes one to action.
An arousal, an effect that causes one to action. So for you, inspiration is going to, the end of inspiration or the result of inspiration is an action?
Yes, absolutely.
So we can't just sit on our couches and be inspired and then sit on our couches some more and watch some Svengoolie, even though they got a great show on. We need to act on that influence.
Correct. Yes, you can be inspired without, you know, resulting action. But the inspiration comes from something that affects us, something that causes us to think or feel different. It arouses our emotions, makes us feel good. There's something that triggers something about ourselves when we get inspired by something or someone. Yes. Nature, life. Things that inspire me are those
good
things.
Deal.
Seasons inspire me. Discovering new music, architecture, travel, people, art, watching something as simple as watching a day unfold. That's something that I do almost daily.
So is there, are you inspired with intention, or can that inspiration just suddenly bite you on the butt? Just out of the blue.
Well, for myself, I'm open to it. I'm open to the newness of life, the newness of a day. So, yes, you have to be open to it. And then sometimes it can come without, you know, without warning. And that's the beauty, also the beauty of life. You can run into someone. You can speak, you know, an interaction with a stranger, a thought. Concept, something as simple as that can, you know, cause a shift. So that's also a beauty where it's unexpected. Absolutely.
Oh, good deal. Good deal. So with you in particular in playing the piano, because I like to focus on things that my guests do for inspiration for the piano. Where do you get the inspiration to continue to play the piano, to continue to study the piano, with all that you do throughout the day?
From the music itself, the artists that I have studied, one in particular, Chopin, Frederic Chopin, in the Romantic period, was one that was a challenge, of course, academically, the physicality of it, of course, in bringing your music in. But just in his arrangements, the peaks and valleys, but all music inspires me. And that's what I love when I compose. It'll come from any source. But my foundation, of course, is my classical background. And then, of course, being African-American, growing up in the church, that's also an influence as well, something that I did as a child. So musical influences come from every source, every genre of music, which, you know, expands my ability to compose my own little musical ideas and motifs, all that.
Now, when you sit down to compose, do you necessarily have to have inspiration there to do that? Or do you just, sometimes do you just sit down, do the work, and then while you're doing the work, the inspiration comes?
Interesting question and beautiful question. Inspiration comes to me in all forms. I'll listen to some music. Well, I'll hear a little musical riff or something, and I'll pause it and go and sit at the piano and you know, copy it. And that's also exciting. I'll hear a commercial on television or some musical riff. I'll hear something somewhere on a song, you know, something pop or jazz or any form, and then I'll get at the piano. And that's what I love. That's kind of a heightened sense for me, as far as composing, as far as inspiration. Oh, absolutely. And I'll just stop whatever I'm doing. I'll tell the person who's playing the music. It's like, what is that? Get that song or anywhere. I'll just stop time if I have to, because it arrests me. That's what I love about it. Musically, yes.
And folks, you did hear that correctly. Derwin has figured out how to stop time.
For me.
Yeah, well, for Derwin in his immediate area.
Well, music that's is why my I've been passion. Friends with it is one of my passions. And it literally, whatever it takes to get that song or find out what that is or who's that artist. Oh, absolutely.
Now, let's delve a little bit away from music, and let's talk about art in general. Do you, when you're at a gallery, or I don't know, when you're looking on your wall and you see a piece by an artist that was gifted to you, does that bring anything to your chosen art form? And are you able to translate something on a wall, a two-dimensional object, into an object that is meant to be heard?
That's a very good question. That's something that we actually discussed before, where that's a new challenge and a new avenue for me, something that I'm just beginning to explore. Mm-hmm. Where, and a piece that was gifted to me by Mr. Timothy Bryan, I think his name is. Yeah.
Oh, he's a hack. He's a horrible artist. He paints like a four-year-old on crack.
Yes. That is something that I enjoy, which is, again, a challenge, new direction for me to study the piece, to sit quiet and study the visual art and see what it means to me, let it reveal itself to me. And then, of course, whatever I get from that to begin compose my feelings musically.
Well, that's very exciting that, you know, that's a it's beginning for you to happen, which inspires me to start doing some more pieces, so that way you can get really inspired and fill up a whole wall for yourself there. And so I'm the one that's slacking here, so I'll after this interview we'll go ahead and I'll do some paintings for you and get them shipped out.
Well, we know Slack and Timothy Bryan do not belong in the same sentence or paragraph or chapter or novel.
Oh, but this isn't about me, Doran. This is about you. Okay. This is about you. So, you know, some of our listeners here, they are new to the art world. You and I have been doing art for decades. So for us, inspiration is a little bit easier concept to understand. Can you break down inspiration just in non, how do I put this, in non kind of like metaphysical things, non-metaphysical terms or ideas? Because for me, it is a metaphysical kind of thing, but just in the simplest terms that you can think of, what is inspiration? How does it present itself to you? Because you've said that, you know, it comes from all directions, but what exactly comes from the direction? Is it an idea? Is it a feeling? Is it a vision of a burning bush?
You know, that's, I love your questions. I love your questions. For me,
I've been doing it for a little while.
because I am emotionally based, as musicians we are, it starts with a feeling. It really does. It starts with a feeling. Something as simple as the morning sunshine, you know, the greenery of spring, the newness of spring, looking at the sky, looking at the day unfold, watching the day unfold. It's the feeling. It's kind of a welling up inside. And then I begin to allow my mind to just go, release it. That's the inspiration. I'm actually sometimes talking out loud, speaking out loud of how I feel. And then that may lead to the inspiration to compose, to write, or to try something new, whatever that may be. Any interest, anything in my life that I may have thought and said, you know, never not me, not just musically, but anything. So inspiration can come from any form, but again, I am open to it. So yes, it does start for me with feeling and emotion.
Beautiful, beautiful. And, you know, with feelings and emotions, they are different for each individual. I've said on past shows that, you know, when I'm standing in front of an audience doing a poetry reading, I treat it as more of a competition, more as they're the enemy and, you know, I'm going to beat the crap out of them afterwards. And that's sometimes how I get my best performances out. It was being very antagonistic, being very animalistic, that kind of a feeling. The feelings that you're kind of describing here are very warm, positive, from what it sounds like to me. Can you get inspiration from a negative feeling? I've been doing this for a minute.
Yes, you have. Wow, I like your questions, Mr. Brian. I didn't think about that for a moment. Possibly. Because usually something negative we remove ourselves from. But then there are times there are things that are not so great that are they're there to teach us. So I'm going to say yes to that question. Yes, you can.
For you and your practice, that's more of a foreign thing. You that's not where you usually go to get your wellness.
No, interesting. Mine is from purity, which is how I live my life. But again, the lessons of life come through sometimes things that are not so great. That's where we grow. That is the growth. That is the classroom setting. So yes, it can, but that's not an area that I have addressed or dwelled on or allowed for inspiration to come from negativity or something that's not so pleasant. Because I began with something pure, something beautiful, something free, something innocent. So that's an area of that I don't have experience with or have not allowed inspiration to come from something that's not so pleasant.
And that's perfectly A-OK, because speaking as somebody who does dwell in those deep, dark recesses of my mind, sometimes that when you pull a little too much from that well, it can pull you in. And you know, that's never a good thing, because then you get a little bit, shall I say, depressed and morose and stuck in doing one way of things. I know for me, there's been hundreds of poems about the same, you know, deep, dark, hanging out in a coffee shop with a dark barista and just, you know, having a pitiful life. And it can turn into a pity party really quick, which, you know, nobody wants to read that kind of poetry. So I don't recommend it for anybody. Don't be like me, kids. Be like Durkheim.
No, but you know, it's interesting. It is there for a reason. And for those who are able to navigate in something dark, there may be something for someone else. If you can, you know, allow those feelings to be transposed to paper, to words, into words, then there may be something that can be of help to someone else who also may be feeling that. So for those who are capable of navigating inspiration in darkness, I commend them. Absolutely. And if you're one of those people, and if you're able to do it successfully and not allow yourself to remain there, you are contributing.
And my recommendation for those of you that are in that kind of deep, dark well, go have some kids. Go have twins, as a matter of fact. Okay. You will get out of that well really quick, because the kids will force you out of
children
that well.
Children are just joy. Sure. They are joy. Mm-hmm. That's why I love children. They are. Oh my gosh, all children.
But especially mine the most. Of course. We'll play this for them when they're 18.
Yes.
So, Durwin, I'd like to touch on intention behind inspiration. In our quote with Vic Muniz, for me, he's really talking about intention. He's talking about things that can inspire you or all around you. You've kind of echoed that with you're being inspired. With, you know, you take inspiration from everything that is around you. For you, the intention behind that inspiration, is it always, how am I going to phrase this? Is it always used to create a piece, or is it you can get that bit of inspiration? Let's say this morning you woke up, beautiful sunrise, and you put that in your file cabinet in your head, and you never use it to your dying day. Is that a waste of intention, or are you going to, if you notice it, are you going to use that sunrise that you had this morning?
Intention for my, I begin every day with honorable intentions in everything that I do. That's how I live my life. So that inspiration may not necessarily be musical. It may be an interaction with a stranger or a coworker or a friend to share a thought or an idea or encouragement or something I've come across that inspired me to pass it forward. So yes, my intentions are always, I'm always available to share that with others, with people. That is always the intention. That's always, it's always in reserve, you know, whenever the opportunity presents itself. Always.
So you're taking that inspiration and then you're pushing it on to the next person that whether they need it or not, you see, hey, this person would be open to me sharing this with them. And then you make it a point to share.
Oh, absolutely. But there's always an opportunity that is presenting itself for me to do that. And that also leaves me, it kind of gives me that extra caffeine boost when you get the opportunity to have an interaction with, especially with a stranger, in any setting, you know, shopping for groceries or just, you know, waiting at an event or something. you walk away, I always walk away thinking, wow, you know, gives me a different, it's like the molecules of life, and they bounce around and they send you in another direction, another train of thought, another idea, another concept that you can add to your arsenal of living. So that is, again, always my intention. And it's kind of like the gift that keeps on giving. By me giving that or being open to share with others, it also comes back to me. Infinite fold.
Well, good deal. Good deal. So now, Derwin, I've been focusing a lot on your musical aspect, but let's talk more about, let's dive into a little bit of non-musical art that you do. So what would you like to share with our audience outside of, playing piano? What else artistically are you interested in?
I don't know if this falls under the arts, but I love travel. I love culture. Mm-hmm. I love the art. I love the lay of the land. I love language. You know, I love the flow, ebbs and flow of language. That also inspires me. Language is like music. So outside of the musical world, you know, architecture, anywhere in the world has its, mm-hmm. every place in the world has its own respective beauty. So outside of the musical world, and then art, of course, itself, art, which I'm kind of a baby in infancy stages in the actual visual arts. Those two things, you know, travel, architecture, visual arts, all of that inspires me as well.
Are you saying that you paint like a 2-year-old on crack?
Well, okay, I'll allow that from you.
Well, I paint like a 4-year-old on crack, so, you know. I would imagine that you're much better than I am. Although I do not have a piece by Mr. Derwin on any of my walls.
Oh, okay.
So maybe I'll have to go to Chicago for a visit and see what I can procure.
I do need to awaken that, because that's something that I did thousands of years ago, that I do need to awaken, mm-hmm. the actual visual arts, which I really, really enjoyed.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you did bring up language, and I know that you speak a different language outside of English. Myself, I'm trying to learn French through Duolingo, $100 Duolingo. But I am finding that language, and I agree with you, language is very musical. English, not so much.
It's not
for me, anyways. It's not. But I find French to be very musical, and you know, and speak a little Portuguese. Is that correct?
Very little. Voila.
Well, you speak more than I do. But how does that come to you? I mean, is it? I know with my girls, I play French lullabies and French kid songs. Or French versions of, you know, English songs, but for you, how are you learning? How are you learning Portuguese and other languages?
Well, I had the blessing of meeting and falling in love with this Brazilian family 20 years ago here in Chicago. Met mm-hmm. them, and they become second parents to me and their children, and being heavily immersed in Brazilian culture, and this is Brazilian Portuguese as opposed to Portuguese from Portugal. And just even to this day, 20 years later, because I would watch the novellas, which is soap operas, and novellas, soap opera in Spanish as well as Portuguese. And then just to listen. And then you would get bits and pieces of an understanding, and of course, the pronunciation of it. And same thing with, I actually formally studied French years ago. In middle school, and also Spanish as well, too, was here in Chicago. So it's listening and getting it in your ear, and of course, obviously, and this is a non-formal study of the two, Portuguese and Spanish, informal study. But again, it's music. it's music, Italian, all of the languages have this musical form. But again, I am sensitive to it. I am an artist, so that's why it sounds different to me. But that's been my experience, my informal study of the two languages.
Excellent. And you used a word that we love here, that you claimed the artist mantle on there. A lot of people are afraid to claim that because they think that they have to be, that has to be their main job, their day job that they're making all their money from. But I know you have your day job, your 40-hour-a-week job. Sometimes it's 80 hours a week, but that's the life we live because we're dedicated. But you do claim the mantle of being
with
an artist.
With help of my friend Timothy, yes. Yeah.
He sounds like a great guy.
He is. Love to meet him. He brought someday. That to my attention years ago. You are. I will never forget that. Yes.
Well, definitely, in my estimation, you are definitely an artist. So wear that mantle with pride.
I do. We're different people. Mm-hmm. We're different mm-hmm. people, sensitive people for a reason. And I love it. And I nurture it.
Good deal. So definitions that we had by our good friends here at Merriam-Webster, $100, they live in my closet. They're talking about a divine influence. Is that too much? Is that too heavy, do you think, a divine influence, or is this just you are in tune with nature, the spirit of Gaia, however you want to go about it? Myself, I'm a Taoist, so we do crazy stuff that nobody understands, but that's okay. We're not trying to grab anybody and proselytize anybody, but with inspiration, the divine influence, it's Sunday, we're in church. Do you think it's a divine influence, or is it just, you're just so in tune with everything around you
myself?
That it is a or natural?
From,
yeah.
You. Oh, okay. Or from a general sense, when you say for divine influence.
Oh, no, it's all about you today.
Well, thank you. For myself, divine could be whatever elevates us spiritually. It doesn't have to be based on religion. Whatever elevates us to our highest possible selves, whatever that influence is, that's what I take from that divine influence, elevation.
Okay,
absolutely.
Well, for me, the definition, I had a little bit of a problem with it. You know, it's talking about divine influence. It's talking about sacred revelations. And it was getting a little too mystical for me. I don't even want to say churchy. It was just getting a little too
it
mystical.
It could be,
for me.
But again, whatever mm-hmm. is divine to the individual. For some, it is mm-hmm. religious based. Some, it is sacred. I mean, sacred is applied obviously to religion, but sacred is whatever that is, whatever sacred to ourselves, to the individual. Mm-hmm. So divine covers all of that, the religious to anything outside of ourselves, that's higher, our highest calling that elevates us, whatever that means to the individual. For some, it is religion. For some, it is referring to a deity. But that's broad.
Excellent.
It's not singular. It's broad, divine, and that's how I interpret it. For divine influence,
right?
It's
good
broader
deal.
Than that.
Too sweet. I keep on interrupting you. I need to stop. I just need to let you go and we'll hit record for an hour and then there we go. Good deal. So, Derwin, we've been talking about inspiration here and, you know, how you're tuned into it, organically and naturally. And it comes, from all sources for you. How would you recommend, or do you have any recommendations for our listeners out there that are having a hard time tapping into, being inspired? How can they be more open like you are to these inspirational influences
so
that are all around you?
Great question. We all have our own respective temperaments. I would say allow yourself to quiet your quiet yourself whenever that time is, to quiet your being, to remove distractions, and to basically become almost like a sponge, to just remove all expectations, just center oneself. That's how I begin. And you must allow it, not force it, but allow it to come, to be sensitive and to be open to it and not closed, because it can come from any source and it can come at any time. That's one of the things that I can truly love, is when it is unexpected. I'm open to it at all times, but I may be busy at work or busy on en route to some appointment in the busyness of the day, and yet inspiration can come at that time from any source, from any direction. So to those listeners out there, to the listeners out there, I would say to be open. You must be open to it, meaning allow it, open yourself to receive it.
Now, here's the $64,000 question. All right, so I open myself to this, and I get some inspiration, get some ideas. How do I trap that inspiration so that way I can record it for later? Because if I'm in my car and I see a wonderful sunrise, and I'm just like, man, that would be a beautiful painting, or that would be a beautiful song that I could write down. How do we prepare ourselves? We're open. How do we prepare ourselves to record that, so that way we can recreate
it in that moment, so that we don't lose it? Oh,
exactly.
Again, when I said stop time, whatever you need to do to hold on to that inspiration, repeat it to yourself over and over until you get to a place where you can stop and put it in your, we don't write anymore, so we'll note it in our iPads or our tablets or our smartphones. Whatever we can do to keep that idea, whatever that inspiration came from and whatever it gave us, to repeat it, say it out loud. If we can write it down really quickly, yes. But we must keep it alive until we can get it on paper, get it recorded, get it, you know, documented somewhere in some form.
So you go around and you're ready for it when it happens. You're open to it and you're ready to capture it.
Absolutely. I've been in conversations with you or with many people. Obviously, I'll always have my iPhone with me or my tablet, and they'll say something to me. Okay, stop. Let me get that, because it'll just trigger something. Oh, I love that. So I love this saying, this quote, or this whatever this is. And oh, absolutely. Been doing that for quite a while. So for the most part, I think we're all equipped with our electronic devices. And so I think that we have the means to get it documented as quickly as possible now, with the way technology, where technology has brought us from to this point.
So in next week's show, we'll be hearing a song composed by Derwin on all the crazy stuff that Tim has said to him in conversations in the past 18 years.
It'll be interesting.
Folks, that'll be a very interesting song right there. I'm thinking you're going to need like a full orchestra for that one.
Possibly, yes.
Good deal. So, Derwin, is there anything about inspiration? I mean, inspiration is a huge topic that we could go on for days and days and days. I think we have at some point. But is there anything that we haven't touched on that you would like to touch on with inspiration that would help out the listener there who's struggling with their inspiration, or, you know, kind of wants to know a little bit more about it from somebody who is obviously tuned into
the world? I think it starts with the individual. Life is busy. Life is very noisy. And so it starts with ourselves. How in tune are we with ourselves, first of all, is to allow, I think before anything, we're working on ourselves, is to quiet the noise externally and also internally as well. And so that allows for the inspiration to come as well. So it starts with ourselves in the busyness of our days, because we all are, and our frustrations, our anxieties, our desires, our disappointments. But there is the gift of life in every day that we see, and again, in our quiet moments, whenever they are, to allow for inspiration.
Folks, I couldn't say it any better. That's what we all need to do. We just need to quiet it down, turn off the cell phone. It's one of the first reasons why I started up the podcast. Turn off your cell phone, pick up a spatula or a tattoo gun and go make some art. So that's you know, that's the stuff that we've been preaching now for almost 3 years, folks. It'll be 3 years in this September. Wow.
Wow.
Crazy thought. You'll be there for the anniversary, Shell. We'll have a big party.
Yes.
It'll also be my wedding anniversary,
oh,
too.
Right.
I opened this on my wedding anniversary.
I know a little bit about that as well.
I think you were there. I think you may have almost been called upon to provide musical interludes. Good deal. Well, Derwin, I definitely want to thank you for being on our show this week in our talk about inspiration. Is there any websites? Is there any way we can connect with you to hear that lovely music that you create?
We are working on that as we speak, so that we can expose it to the world. But currently, there is by our next broadcast.
Our next broadcast will be, which will be next week. Derwin doesn't know about this, but we're going to have mine. I'm kidding. Yes. I'm kidding. We're not going to do that to you.
Absolutely.
Okay. So at this point, folks, you'll have to wait for it. It will come as soon as we get some information on that. My listeners will be the first to know about it, and they'll jump on it for sure. Derwin, I definitely want to thank you for appearing on our show here this fine evening, talking about inspiration for us. Is there any final words you'd like to give our audience on creating more than they consume
this
or inspiration?
This has been great. I really, really enjoyed the experience. This has been really wonderful.
Good deal. Hopefully it inspires you to go create some art.
It will. It has.
Good deal. Well, again, thank you so much for appearing on our show, folks. Remember, inspiration, quiet yourself down, be open to it. You've heard it directly here from Derwin. You're hearing it from me. Quiet yourself down, open yourself up to it. There should be no such thing as writer's block, musician's block, any of those blocks. You have what you need out there. You just need to be able to go ahead, reach out, and touch it. Thanks for listening, and we will. Ooh, I'm getting some bad buzzes there. So thanks for listening, and we will see you next time. Have a great day. And I want to thank you for listening all the way through to the end of the show. This was a wonderful conversation that I had with Derwin. Like you could hear, he is a close friend of mine and a mentor, I would say, as well. So it's up to you. What is inspiration for you? What does it mean to you? How do you define it? You can reach out to me, Timothy@createartpodcast.com, and let me know what you're thinking of it. Also, I'd like to know what you're thinking about these rebroadcasts. They're a lot of fun for me. I wanted to make sure that you could hear these conversations because the old podcast is gone. But could you do me a favor? Could you go ahead and recommend this to a friend that needs to hear about inspiration? I'd really appreciate it. So until next time, go out there, tame that inner critic, create more than you consume, and go make some art for somebody you love, yourself. I'll see you next time.